This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, let's go. You're on with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN on a big Monday. And I mean, woo, that was a big win. I'm certainly going to talk about it. Today's going to be easy. It's going to be an easy show with my partner, John Martin, as soon as he decides to get up in the car. I hate waiting. I hate waiting with the door open. But Brad Carson, executive producer, on the ones and twos. Hope you had a good weekend, Brad.
It's a good weekend, especially with the Tigers. I'm
good, because we're about to put you to work.
Yeah.
John's in the car now. And when I say this is going to be an easy show, I mean easy. Because I'm going to tell Brad's in the back seat, as you know. And today, this is what I feel like. I feel like just riding around 240 with a flag out the back of the car, out the J&J car. What are we in, Brad? A BMW? What's our car? BMW?
Whatever you want, man. It's his radio.
We're in Brad's BMW. Yeah. The flag pulls out. And on one side of that flag is a Memphis Tiger. And on the other side is the I Am 1 Cent logo. When you need it, who can you call?
Or Dane Danger. Or Kobe Rogers.
Somebody had to get the best we've ever seen out of those guys, didn't he? And that is 1 cent. What a win it was. UAB wasn't ranked. To many, you were supposed to do this. To many in Memphis, we've all been looking for a savior. He proved himself over the weekend. His team stepped up. Big win for the Memphis Tigers, whose magic number, it's a baseball thing, it's one. And John will correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that can include a North Texas loss or a Memphis win.
That's right. And they play tonight. North Texas plays tonight against Wichita State. They're a favorite. They should win the game. But
it will be this program's first. If you can believe it, it's first. American Athletic Conference regular season title.
Man.
We are so close, ladies and gentlemen.
It is hard to believe in one sense, and then others it's not, just because of the circumstances, right? I mean,
the flag is out.
The conference included Houston for a long time. Kelvin Sampson's Houston. So I don't hang my head in shame about not winning it until now. It's just, the way it kind of broke. But, yeah, no, I mean, Memphis was given a mandate by the people. They said, you want to get out of this league, you need to win this league. And they're going to do it. And Memphis is still going to be stuck in this league, but at least they did that for those people. So we will get into all of that today on the show.
Blood is pumping.
We're not including football. We're just talking about basketball because football got the same mandate, but I don't want to talk about that.
Don't need to compare right now.
I don't want to talk about football mandates right now. So, it was obviously a great win, like you said yesterday. I'll put it up there, and I'll get into it, but I'll put it up there against a lot of, Pitty's career in terms of.
It's going to be a lot of Kelvin Sampsons on there.
There's a lot of Kelvin Sampsons
in there. On there. Though I get where you are going.
Just symbolically is kind of where I'm at with it, right? Like metrically, no. Implications for tournament, no. But symbolically, and I think maturity and growth wise, yes.
I like that maturity and growth wise.
As a coach, as a team, you know, I thought that's kind of what that showed last night. So it's a Monday. Grizz did not win a game this weekend. So we'll talk about that. They are now, what, fourth in the West? They are getting to where they deserve to be.
Well, and that's
right?
Why
they're settling in.
We're moving the J&J defensive readiness system when it comes to Grizz DEFCON to 4. Remember, it's 5 when we are at lowest readiness. We're going up to 4.
Yeah.
And we'll discuss whether we need to go higher.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably fair. I could
officially,
I could maybe argue 3, but 4 is fine for now. Because
officially moving it up.
That's where they are in the standings. After last night, Lakers.
I owe Pelinka an apology. I thought this was just for the future. It looks like it could be for the now.
The Lakers haven't lost to a team over 500 since the middle of January. They have not lost to a team over 500 since the middle of January, and they acquired Luka since then.
Blow my mind.
The Grizzlies haven't beaten a team over 500 since February the 2nd.
Well, and it's you talk about you know what backwards, because what they've done defensively.
It makes no sense. They held the Clippers to 102 two straight games. I watched the game yesterday.
Not just them. I want to tell you it was Denver 100, but good call.
Because I was looking.
Clippers couldn't get over, barely get over 100. Denver was the same way. They're shutting everybody down.
Because I'm looking for a new team. I'm looking for a new team.
The sample size is now like 10 games.
Yes.
Since the trade.
Yeah.
They're second in defense.
Exactly.
In 10 games.
So I was on the journey to look for a new team to support.
Grizz.
No, just a different one.
Yeah. You know, but
I'm out on them. I'm out on them.
You're not leaving. You live in Memphis. You live in the Cove in Germantown. That's Memphis. You're not leaving the Grizz.
Just out on them. For the season.
Another team.
For the season, I'm out on them. So I need a new season side piece. And that's the Lakers.
Listen, I thought this was going to be Penny Hardaway Day. I did not know you were going to be jumping out the car.
I jumped out the car.
When it comes to the Grizzlies.
When they lost
John
to Oklahoma
is jumping
City.
Out of the car.
I jumped out of the car.
That
when
was
they lost
the start of it, though.
Yes.
How could you jump out on the start? Again, it's OKC.
Because you could see the signs. I don't need much, as you know. And I absolutely ejected. I hit eject button on. I mean, listen, you guys can make the case.
You guys.
Or whoever.
Who you talking to? I don't think anybody's blind anymore.
But
when you lose to the Spurs and you gave everybody the night off.
That's right.
Thinking you were going to win.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
DEFCON 4.
We'll get into that. We got a lot of time. This is a 3-hour show.
Penny day.
But yes, the city's team got the win. Jeff Calkins is going to join us at 1:25. And Respect Burgers at 1:00. Memphis basketball. It was just such a it was such an interesting, you know, lead up to the game because you have Andy Kennedy's. Not even like trying to apologize about the stakes of the game. The man was saying that this is what our kids dream of growing up. This game is what our kids dream of growing up.
They were trying to sell them tickets.
You had Yaxel Lindeborg saying that he got goosebumps, that beating Memphis last year was one of the best moments of his life.
Is there a story about his play?
And not only does Memphis opens as a 2.5-point favorite, that gets bet all the way back to UAB. At close, it was UAB -1.5.
You got to be kidding.
Not kidding.
The thing flipped all the way.
All the way.
I told my dad at tip all the way in Belize, John says it's flipped. Tigers now underdogs. This is prime penny position.
That is a fact, bro. By tip-off, Memphis was an underdog in this game. And I think that's what people don't necessarily understand about it. I think they just believe that because Memphis was favored on KenPom or whatever the case may be. But the market consistently said hour after hour that Memphis should not be favored in this game. That Memphis was not, in position to win. And
that's just sharp money coming in?
That's it.
Okay.
So yeah, the way that works is, you know, the closer you get to tip off, the higher the limits get at your big offshore sharp sports books.
I see.
So you know, you get to it flipped officially at like 2:00, right before the game.
They made it easier for Penny.
They did. If you were sharp,
this was not easy, was it?
Because
many were jumping off. They were jumping out of the car. the car that now waves the 1 cent Tigers flag. They were jumping out of the car in the first half, Brad.
They were.
When the Tigers were down double digits early, folks thought they were about to go down.
UAB threw like Rocco the first, what, four or five punches? I mean, and they stung Memphis, you know, no doubt about it.
Folks were jumping out.
Memphis was turning the ball over. You know, they couldn't get stops on UAB. They were down 11 there in that first half. But a couple things did work for Memphis. You know, Yoxo Lindenborg got in foul trouble, and that really flipped the game. There's no doubt about it. And he just wasn't able to. He only played 24 minutes.
Memphis did a brilliant job on him.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Wasn't just the whistle that, you know, neutralized him.
That man picked up three in the first
half.
He had
NBA scouts there to see him. We realized, too, they were there to see some Tigers. But, you know, to the job you did on him, and really, I think that's the thing I'm most impressed with. And Yoxo's really the face of it. But that's one of the best rebounding teams in the country. It's not one of the SEC teams. It's not Mississippi State pushed you around early this year. It's not them. But because of Yoxo, they're number two in the country in terms of, or came into the game as that, in terms of offensive rebounding.
Yeah.
And the job that you did, both individually against him and using your bigs to frustrate him, yes, foul trouble certainly helped, took him off the floor. But the job you did to defend him, to keep him neutralized, just really impressive. And then to out-rebound them, to hold UAB to 10 offensive rebounds, number two in the country.
Yeah.
Fantastic job. Just 10 second chance points. That's what you worried about with UAB in terms of them being able to beat you. And, but what did I tell you in that second half? Tell me if I'm lying to you. A team like UAB is going to open the door. The question's only going to be, is Memphis going to step through it?
Mm-hmm.
Because again, this is not a tournament team. And, you know, we've seen Memphis step it up in the fact, again, that you're an underdog in this game. This is not playing down to one of these dog teams in the league. This was an effort that you saw. You got up for there at the end. And when you needed to close it out, who'd you get ball on the back of? You really got on the back of P.J. Haggerty.
Although there's
a ton of performances there. P.J. Haggerty in the second half showed us why this is his team.
He extended the lead. He put it out of reach, you know.
100%.
Yeah,
and what are we talking about here? Dane Danger is just playing at an obscene level.
I mean, career high in points the game before, career high in rebounds in this one. And look, I mean,
16 and 17, man, yeah. Against Yoxo Lindenborg. And listen, Dane was in foul trouble too. Now
he was, yeah, yeah.
And so to do that in a game where Lindenborg go for 10 and 6, you outplayed him for the second time this season.
Mm-hmm.
And to have done this now on the heels of these two double-doubles, this three straight double-doubles for Dane, oh, by the way, you know, he's blocking shots, 3 blocks per game the last 3 games.
Yep.
So again, Penny sends the message against Wichita State, benches him essentially. You lose the game.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the response from Dane Danger the last 3 games.
Now, did you check his game score in this game?
I did not, but I'm sure it's through the roof. You were writing about Hollinger's formula last week. That was with the two games. It has to be... It has to be as good, I would think.
It was only 13.2.
Well, why so much lower?
I don't know. Because he had 24 against Rice. He was a 24-game score against Rice. His impact felt much bigger than 13.2.
Might have been maybe the turnovers.
Maybe so.
I mean, I was telling you yesterday something. You got to live with him when he's playing like this.
Yeah. He had 4 turnovers. That could well be why. They probably scored off those.
He had lowered the turnovers in the last 2 games. I want to tell you just 3 combined in the 2 before. So that hurts your score, I'm sure.
But yeah, 16 and 17. What are we talking about here?
He's beasting.
Yeah.
Right now in this league, and to do it against Lindenborg, who again scouts had come to see, because many are saying, well, he can play in the league.
Yeah.
You know, you exposed him.
Yeah, I think you know he was. You know, there's
while dominating.
There's something to be said for. Mentally taking yourself out of the game, and I think Yoxo was so juiced for this revenge spot that, like, he, you know, some of those were ticky tack, but he took himself out of the game with bad fouls, with dumb fouls,
you know.
And
I mean, you had one guy playing through the foul trouble in Dane and playing well through it, and another guy struggling.
That's right.
I realize there's a 7 minutes difference there, but you got to give Dane the credit.
Yeah, but there's a 7 minute difference because he found a way. Yeah.
And we were concerned that second half.
Yeah. So I give Dan a lot of credit for, you know, Yoxo promised him that he would see him again, but he mostly spent the day watching him from the bench, you know, because Dane was in his head, and Dane came out of that one, you know, on top, no question about it. I just to kind of bottom line it from where I sit, it was symbolically, I thought, one of the best wins in Penny's career, just because historically that spot is a loser. You already beat the breaks off of UAB in the first meeting. You're as close to the AAC championship as you've ever been, right? So you have that pressure that you're kind of working through meaningfully. You have the knowing that if you lose this game, the pressure of, my God, we may be a 9 line if we lose this game because they're going to kill us on in the committee.
Yeah.
And you're working through all of that with Andy Kennedy hyping this up with, you know, this is UAB's biggest game of their season, of their decade, really.
And going down 30-19 at one point.
Going down 30-19 and responding. I just feel like there are very few times in Penny's tenure here where I felt like a Memphis team would have been able to come back from that. And they came back from it with Kobe Rogers shooting. They came back from it with Dane's play. They came back from it with PJ there. He only had 6 to half. Mm. And he came back in that second half and could not miss. You got good, nice contributions from Musa. He had a couple of blocks there in the second half.
Big. Especially the one late.
Yeah, I mean, so
Kobe Rogers had his best game in the sense of Ole Miss, and it probably should. It deserves, you know, a sort of a stop because he hit some shots in the first half, help you stay in it.
Huge.
It felt like there was a chance you were about to get run off the floor. It really did. UAB had the energy going. They were making some shots there. You were turning the ball over in the first half, so you were adding to it. We've seen some of that. You cleaned it up in the second half, only ended up with 13 turnovers, but I believe 8 of those came in the first half, and you could feel it. And so I thought Rodgers, and you know, stepping up 21 points at his, I'm pretty sure it's his biggest game since Ole Miss.
It is.
You know,
it's his first 20 point game since then.
He dropped off as sort of the level of competition had dropped off because remember, Kobe had done this in the non-conference, fourth toughest non-conference schedule in the country, and it hit big shots for you. It was so good to have that happen early for you because I think you needed to sort of hang in there. To stay in there, because they did. I mean, I won't lie to you. They had you backpedaling.
Yep.
There's no question about it, but the response was outstanding. And then, like you said, you get on Haggerty and Dane's back there. But there were contributions from everybody. Just to be able to out-rebound a team like UAB when that has not been one of your strong suits. Lately, you've been getting hotter there. A lot of that is Dane Danger when you're talking about putting up double-digit rebounds the last 3 games. But, man, that's what you wanted to see is the team that you went, you know, that was picked ahead of you. In the preseason poll, you know, you went out and you took care of business convincingly twice.
Yep.
I mean, that's maximizing doing what you can in this league. You took that team out. Now you've got, you know, all but hopefully North Texas just drop it tonight.
That'd be great.
Right?
That'd be great.
They've got 3 this week.
Although you still got to win for your seed. You know,
it's Wichita State. And that's at home. I don't expect them to lose.
I'm no, sure you're going to have favorite. To win at UTSA.
Yeah. So I mean, just win yours. Magic number's 1, though. Whether they lose or you win, it's done.
Exactly. And we'll have plenty of time to discuss, you know, when that actually happens, when Memphis wins the regular season, because obviously that would be just major for Penny. It wouldn't be some, you know, accomplishment from the university's standpoint because it's such a bad league. But for Penny to be able to do it, I know it's certainly really important for him. So, yeah, I mean, I thought it was it's been so long since those December days when you're playing Ole Miss and Mississippi State and Clemson that you forget. Because this is probably the closest thing, right? Even the game in Memphis was a 7.5-point favorite over UAB. You know,
this, were you underdogs in any of them?
I don't believe you were.
That's the key. This is the one game you were an underdog in conference.
And so it reminded you that when the chips are down and
that's my point. It made that type of
game.
When you told me it flipped there, I said, boy, Penny's getting the pregame. Now, boy, he's got a little extra juice here to add. And that's when he gets them up. Historically,
exactly. Yes,
in these spots when that underdog card can be dealt,
exactly right. And so I just think it's a reminder that Memphis when that is the case, and it will be the case. Whether it might not be the first round, but it'll be the second round of the NCAA tournament. Should they get there,
what makes them more dangerous to me is what they're getting from Dane now, and the fact that they've shored up things on the glass. But a lot of that is Dane. Again, it's we said it. It was the reason why we thought a starting lineup change could really benefit not just Dane individually, but the entire offense.
No doubt.
Because it's as simple as 1-2-3. Musa, God bless him, he's been great coming off the bench, just what you need, quite frankly. And he's helped with this rebounding and getting it now to a place where you can respect. But you didn't have to guard him. And Dane Danger, boy, you can't just put 1 on him in terms of defensive attention. And so if you've got to put that kind of defensive attention on a post in an offense, what can Haggerty do? What can Colby Rogers do? What can Tyrese Hunter do? It just makes things easier for them, whereas things had sort of been so perimeter-oriented, John,
yep,
there for a while. It was getting you into those lulls. So it's good to see it all coming together. And even in areas that you had been problem areas for you, turnovers. Okay, you cleaned it up second half. We've seen that, even though for the most part turnovers have been down. Rebounding. Boy, they've stepped it up in those.
Yes.
But it's the Dane dimension, I'm telling you, man, makes it even more dangerous potentially postseason. Because, yeah, you got to have the guards lead you. Everybody tells you that about the tournament. It's true. We talked about that last week. But when those guards are missing shots,
yep,
if you don't have that post presence, boy, things can really get tough for you.
Absolutely.
When you're so perimeter-oriented. Memphis show, man, it's inside-outside right now.
Yep.
Outside, inside, inside, outside.
A totally different dynamic now.
Yeah, they're tougher to defend.
Yeah, I mean, it just keeps teams honest, you know?
So long as you're not giving it up and giving it to them.
Yeah.
And it seems like when Memphis has gotten itself in trouble,
yep,
is that, right? When,
yeah,
it's, when it's contributing to it. Like we said, you cleaned up those ugly turnovers from the first half.
I mean, they really have. I mean, they really have been so different. I mean, they lost in overtime to Wichita State. I mean, you know, basically you lose one damn time. I mean, you're gonna be a 10-point favorite at UTSA. You're gonna be a 20-point favorite against South Florida at home. Like one time since he got back in the starting lineup.
You're our college basketball expert. I had everybody asking me. I'm curious to ask you on the show. Where are, you know, not that this win did anything for you. It's quad two. It's not a quad one victory. But where do you have them in your mind as a six? Do you have them still as a seven? I looked Palm, who did his update yesterday before the game. I think his latest was Sunday. Now, I had not checked to see if he's dropped one today, but he already had them a six.
Mm-hmm.
Others still have them a seven. Again, that was before. So I'm just curious where you, John Martin, you know, national college basketball analyst, where you've got the Tigers,
I mean,
in your mind, a six or a seven?
In my mind, I mean, I have them as a five, but
that,
they
stop,
won't be.
Stop.
So I mean,
yeah, okay.
You mean, what, like,
I mean, I mean, reality.
Yeah,
where are they going to be?
I still think they're going to be a seven.
Reality.
I still think they'll be a seven, possibly a six.
Oh no, I was more hopeful of a six.
Yeah. But Bracket Matrix still has them as the last seven.
Oh, so, I'm sure they do, because that average is going to be low.
You know,
you're
so it's hard for me to think like they're going to be a whole seed line ahead of them.
But when they, you know, when we thought five, Bracket Matrix had six as the average, and that's the point. And so I could make that argument now. Yes, John, they're a, you know, they're a six, but Bracket Matrix got them a seven. It seems like you would buy it because we talked about that earlier.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to need help.
Some of those are going to have them so low because of an average of, what, over 100 brackets? Some are going to have the Tigers just disrespectfully low.
Yeah.
So that average can be low.
It's just like, who do they jump for that sixth spot? You know, Louisville, no. I mean,
again, just assuming they run the table, no semifinal losses, even in the AAC tournament, obviously none in the regular.
It's possible that, you know, I mean,
it feels like six is there.
If you're behind UCLA, you're behind Ole Miss, behind Mississippi State.
Palm had them as that before the win at UAB, which is quad two. You're now 11-3 in those games. You know, I would think if you had just six beforehand, hopefully for many, this and for the selection committee, matters the most, going to cement you as a six, so long as you don't blow it.
Yeah, I'm trying not to, like, get my hopes up there, you know.
But I would say don't get your hopes up for a five.
Yeah, I'm not even getting my hopes up for a six.
The ceiling's a six, and I'll take it. But
yeah,
a six or seven gets me out of 8-9, I'm going to be happy.
Yeah.
Especially with the way this team's playing, so long as it continues through the, you know, two regular season games and on into the tournament.
Well, I said when the bracket reveal, the initial one happened, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, Memphis wasn't in the top 18. I said five was the ceiling. People got mad at me. People said, "Oh, how can you say that? How can you say that five is their ceiling? That's ridiculous." You know, five now is not even a ceiling. It's like a pipe dream. It's just not possible.
Well,
and people got
so
mad at me when I said that. You know, it's crazy. I would like to believe a six. I mean, I think they do have the resume of a five. I mean, their non-conference wins are insanely good, but they just, for whatever reason, they just don't get credit.
It's simply the result of having two losses in the 10th rated conference in the country. You know,
yeah,
the AAC being behind CUSA now, you know.
And also the Arkansas State home loss hurts.
And then throw in Arkansas State.
Yeah.
It's how much they penalize you for it.
And I mean, I hear that.
It's not fair.
It's right.
But that's what they're getting you on.
This conference is
as weak as it's ever been.
And your metrics aren't great, although you did jump four spots in KenPom, which is nice.
Yeah, but you're still, what, 40-something? I mean, it's not even high 40s, is it?
Oh, you dropped back.
45, 46, 40,
that's not, 44. That's not fair. They jumped four spots after they won to 44, And then they dropped four right back the same day. I didn't realize that was possible.
48.
I'm saying, though, after they beat UAB, they did jump four spots. Right. And then Ken, I guess some other results came in or whatever the case may be, but Memphis ended up staying right where they're at. I mean, that's crazy. That's like, what are you
metrics,
supposed to do?
I think the metrics are what will keep you in terms of your calling the five a pipe dream. I think it is.
That's yeah.
Metrically, you're not going to come in high enough.
Yeah.
To warrant a five, but a six, man, with your resume, I don't know what the selection committee can ask for you know. Ask more from Penny Hardaway and the Memphis program when you've again. You go look at the toughest non-conference schedules in the country. Memphis is fourth. We've constantly told you that. But it's like 1, 2, 3 are all SWAC teams.
Yeah.
That's because they have to play bye games. Schedules like that are that of SWAC teams. I think you got to go down to maybe Auburn that's got a similar one in terms of real teams. Alabama, I think, is up there. That's why a lot of people are giving Alabama, even though, John, they took the loss to Tennessee, they're still giving Alabama a one-seed nod right now over Tennessee because if you look at strength of non-conference schedule.
Mm-hmm.
That's a side note right now. That was a big win for Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
By the way. But what more can the selection committee ask of Memphis?
I mean,
when you're playing the fourth toughest schedule, you go 10-3 on that.
Tough.
You only lose two games in conference. That, I mean, I realized Arkansas State and loss was tough, but. And yes, it's a bad loss, but boy, it seems like bad losses hurt Memphis a lot more than they hurt these other.
They
teams.
They certainly do, man.
You're gonna blame it? It's all because of the conference? No, man. Let some of that what they did in non-conference matter, like you say, it matters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why six is what they deserve. Palm had them a six before the game.
Yeah,
I'm hopeful of a six.
That would be ideal, and that would also probably tell you that six is the best that Memphis could realistically hope to do.
Well, I wondered this.
Any tournament field.
If you get six, there's no way you're playing Tennessee because Tennessee's
right.
not dropping to
that's a
three.
No.
They're going to be a two or better. They got a shot at one now. It feels like them, Alabama, and Florida are all playing for one.
Yeah.
Is that a you would?
Absolutely. I mean,
we can
three.
Get to SEC, but those are they're all kind of playing for one. Because doesn't Florida have Alabama next or something?
Yeah, Florida
looked
has.
Looked it all out but yeah. the rest of the final week here. But
they
I think,
just beat A&M.
So if they got that one, you could say, well, Florida's got a case
yep.
to be the one.
Certainly. You know? Yeah.
One seat.
Absolutely right.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're talking about teams like it's not going to be A&M because they're sliding. So it's going to be teams like, you know, Texas Tech, St. John's, Kentucky, you know, maybe. You know, Purdue perhaps, those type of teams in the three. And I'll say this. You know, there are some matchups there that I feel pretty good about. You know, Purdue would be one of them. St. John's even would be one of them because of how bad they are offensively.
How do you say it? Is it E2 KenPom?
Yeah.
Because the net has us 45.
Yeah, how does
KenPom have us lower than the net? He usually is.
He bumped them up and then bumped them down. I don't know what the hell happened.
They're up. They're 45. If I'm looking at this, they're 45 at the net.
It's really sad, man.
Now the net likes us more. We know how flawed that thing is.
Yeah, it's really, really sad.
Man, I'm going to have to stop subscribing to OKP.
You know, it only costs $25 a year.
It's one of the best subscriptions out there, to be honest with you. But
yeah.
Come on now.
I would like
this is getting worse than net when his numbers got Memphis lower and you were 10-3 against his own fourth toughest. We're going off his numbers. Mm-hmm. Fourth toughest schedule.
Mm-hmm. I would like more like ways to tinker with the KenPom.
The problem is it doesn't factor in the fact that game flipped. Not that changes anything about his math and formula, but the fact that Memphis then goes into that game as an underdog, his math never changed. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But the dynamic of the game did,
mm-hmm.
in a way.
Yeah.
Even though that's about the money coming in, I realize, yes, folks, that stuff's separate. Why are you in? But still, Penny can go in there, say, we're underdogs.
Yeah, I mean,
doesn't affect KenPom's math. You see my point there?
Oh, yeah.
And so So Memphis doesn't get credit in a way for an upset win, at KenPom, in a way that it should,
right,
because his math still says well,
he
Memphis
had Memphis
should...
by five.
There you go.
They won by seven. So
now his math would have told you, hey, stick with Memphis,
mm-hmm.
on this. Don't flip with the pick, right?
Yes, exactly.
But that said, it doesn't seem like it gives Memphis any credit. But what is that? A 7-point road win at UAB?
I mean, yeah. It's some.
I mean, come on, man.
So that's why, like,
what they got to do.
Sometimes when you get this late into a season, people that I respect tell me that KenPom's numbers aren't as, they're not as good, right? or as true as maybe the game reflects. Like the UAB game was a prime example, even though his numbers ended up being correct, basically, because he had it 5 and they won by 7.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he would argue.
I mean, but you would argue back that Memphis was down 11 in the first half. They were down 6 at half. I mean, UAB had an unbelievable meltdown, and Memphis couldn't miss in the second half. I don't know. It just felt like UAB, a pick'em was where that game felt correct to me. Like, it did. It felt like a pick'em. It played like a pick'em.
I'm glad it did. I think it played in the Memphis' hands.
But when it comes to me, I evaluate wins and losses based on the market. I really do, because that's where, you know, that's where the money is at. You know, that's where people are putting money behind their opinions. And if Memphis closes as an underdog, that's why that win is impressive. You know, like, that win should be impressive. Not because they won by 7 and Kempom had it 5. It's like, no, like, the people that actually do this for a living and have money and shape these things, they thought Memphis should be the underdog, and Memphis overperformed those expectations. You know, that's been the rarity this year. It's what happened against Clemson. It's what happened against Michigan State. It's what happened against UConn. You know, that's the most impressive stuff that Memphis has done this year to me. And I think they're probably going to continue to do it when the tournament starts.
Most impressive thing to me is that this man's turned role players like Dane Danger into beasts.
Yeah.
And he's done it with, you know, principled messages. I'm going to bench you if I'm not getting what I need out of you on defense. And the response is 3 straight double-doubles. Oh, by the way, it's like 9 blocks last three games.
Yep.
That's coaching.
Yes.
That's what some of the doubters still, and may, you know, some doubt even amongst us in the media, you know, wondered, man, like, how much actual coaching are guys getting better? How many guys do you look at now, P.J. Haggerty, you look at the numbers, and you say Penny's getting the best versions of these guys?
Yep.
You know, Colby in big games, Tyrese Hunter all season long.
No doubt.
In terms of having to team up with P.J. Haggerty, you know, form a chemistry there. But Dane Danger, role player in Illinois, man. Role player.
Yep.
They said this guy can handle minutes, maybe be a factor for you, but it has to come in spurts, right? He's dominating this league.
Yes.
Now, the last 3 games, and as John said, really goes back to when you put him in the starting lineup. That's getting the most out of your players. You know what that is? That's Kelvin Sampson type stuff.
Yeah, it is.
That we talk about and remark about with the greats.
Yep.
So it's happening here. It should be appreciated. Because, again, I'd point to kind of in that message, you could argue you cost yourself a loss to Wichita State and not going back to Dane.
Yep.
Because and my evidence would be, look how he shut down the Rice game. Look how Dane shut down the Rice game in the last 2 minutes.
Absolutely.
And what that possibly could have done for you in overtime against Wichita State, you said no. I'm going to stick to my point. And look at what you get, the response you get from him. It's got to be validating for a coach.
Yep.
You know, that you my way is working. And so when it's that's why I feel great for Penny, I feel great for the program. You're getting the best version of these players. And it feels like, again, a 3-point shooting, just 29% yesterday. It's okay, because now you got an inside presence. Makes you extremely dangerous.
Yes, it does.
In tournament time, when you can throw it inside outside like that.
It really does, man. It gives me like, it's like this sort of newfound hope about their like possibilities.
I'm trying to tell you, man.
You know,
if you can talk about guards all day, if you got nothing in the middle, that's a threat.
No doubt.
You can get shut down when those threes dry up, and it can be a short stay for you in the tournament.
Yep.
This, with Dane playing at this level, just keeping him unlocked like this.
Absolutely.
Feels so key. If you do that, boy, sky's the limit.
Sky indeed is the limit. Memphis gets the job done yesterday at UAB. And all Anthony Kennedy could say is, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And we couldn't do that.
Sounded like he was trying to push Dane for player of the year, too. That won't happen.
No.
Because it's PJ.
Yep. But the last 10 games.
Goodness.
I mean, if Dane started the whole year, he probably would have been the player of the year.
Playing like this?
Bro, yes, because he would have. He would have been killing these teams with the starting load, you know?
Did he not start the year, though?
He did. And
okay,
then, and then,
that's what I thought. And then it was switched to them.
Yeah. I think he started like 3 games, 4 games.
It's 21, 13 rebounds, 21 points per game, 13 rebounds per game, 3 blocks per game in the last 3 games.
Yeah, he's on one.
Beasting.
And then he went right to social media. He's just bullying Lindenburg at this point. It's just bullying, man.
I didn't know if it was, you know, I figured, like you said, you're going to fire Yoxel up for this one off that last time, man. He exposed that man again, except this time from the scouts. Andy said bad day to have a bad day for his man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's...
Let me tell you what, bro's stock dropped.
Oh, yeah.
Yoxel's stock. Now, he'll still get his chances because he's super athletic, and my goodness, he gets the rim, and, I mean, these long strides. But the NBA, everybody's like that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And he won't be playing with the UAB Blazers.
He got exposed against the big girth of Dane Danger.
Yeah, Dane was great. Dane had a hell of a day. There's no doubt about that.
Tiger flags out.
All right. Two more games. One more game until that elusive conference crown. A parade will be held from downtown to midtown all the way to Eads.
Wave that American flag.
We finally did it, folks. We finally did it. Pac-12, can we come back to the table, please?
Because ACC ain't opening up.
Please, please. We're going to have to walk back up to the Pac-12 like Zelensky back to the White House.
No, we ain't taking no bad. We just won the conference. Close to it. I don't want to jinx it. Hold on.
Please, sir. Please. That's not funny, by the way. I regret saying that.
You should keep that worldly stuff, though, those politics out of this, man.
Yeah,
we're trying to have a good time on Tiger basketball, because Lord knows we're about to have to diagnose something that might be dead.
Are the Grizzlies headed to the play-in? That's the question. Another player got added to the injury report minutes ago. We'll get into that. And the Grizzlies, no good, awful, horrible weekend. Jason and John, 92.9 FM.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. All right, we're back. Jason and John. I think people know who this is by now. I don't know why I keep saying that. I don't have to reintroduce the show. But maybe we have new listeners.
Yeah, you should. It's great. It's great.
Hi.
Stay with it.
My name is John Martin. My partner's name is Jason Smith.
Hello.
And we do this show every day from 11 to 2. We've been doing it for a long time here on 92.9.
Memphis
and
graduates.
We talk a lot about Memphis Tiger basketball, Memphis Grizzlies basketball.
I'm local. John's national.
NFL.
I'm hanging on to local.
College football.
Thanks to 92.9.
Occasionally, we'll talk about, you know, real life topics like, you know, parenthood and love and loss and grief.
We don't get to talk to Dr. Valley, though.
We do not get to talk to Dr. Valley. That would be Jeff Calkins.
9 to 11 show hot.
So thank you for tuning in to us for the first time, those of you out there. It's such a privilege and honor to have you. But
you're like Conan O'Brien, man.
Yes. I think you have
to get to it.
I think people don't have to like say, well, this is the Oscars. We give out awards every year for the best film. You know, I think people.
He did like a I Won't Waste Your Time song.
That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, you're tap dancing whatever. Here before we have to get to the what we're really concerned about.
You know, honestly.
Can I give you an inconvenient truth to start this off?
Sure.
Grizzlies have lost 6 of 9. 6 of 9.
Sounds about right.
They continue to slip in the standings. Now 4th, but only a game ahead of the Rockets.
Right.
And so this could easily be a deal where you're in.
And they own the tiebreaker over you. So
yeah, 3-1.
Is it really a full game with that, or it still is a full game, even taking that into consideration?
It's a full game. I mean, technically, once they tie you, it's
right.
It's theirs.
In your
they go ahead.
Right. Yeah, and you're 6 games out of 6th at 7th and 8th.
I feel good about, even though Golden State's playing so well, about, you know, they're only 4 games above .500. Whatever, right. They're 7-3 the last 10. They're hot. Jimmy's got them.
Yeah,
my goodness, the energy
around,
there.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're seeing that effect, you know, around
the
league.
Lakers are doing, it feels like Golden State's doing. Since the trade deadline, those things worked.
Kings?
For those teams.
I mean,
but my point is the Rockets are the one. I mean, you look at the Clippers, they're the same thing. They're 4 games over .500. You really going to drop that far down? The schedule.
I don't think so.
Right.
Not that far.
Schedule lightens up a little bit. I thought it was light on Saturday, though.
Yeah.
So did the Grizz, apparently, Brad.
Mm.
That's why we sat everybody, you know?
Yeah. That was tough. That was really tough.
That's what, again, and I think just right on this, and you were there Friday night, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but Friday night, and yeah, points, and before that Ananobi shot, I thought the Grizz were going to win, and you feel like, okay, we got them back.
Mm.
Now, you can't tell yourself you're now among the elite of the West or anything else for beating the Knicks. But it felt like that game was in the balance. You know, Ja had the chance to win there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not, you know, it doesn't change necessarily anything you think other than, oh, man, Grizz can't beat a team over 500 since what was your date?
February the 2nd.
There you go. I mean, it adds to that. But
yeah.
it doesn't necessarily change the concern level. Losing to the Spurs, which I think is what I'm making this point. I think that's where we should settle.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to go back through the Knicks game because of what we saw the next night. Against San Antonio, when clearly an organization thought it could get a win, a much-needed win. If it, you know, I don't care what Taylor Jenkins says. You better be paying attention to the standings. It's a much-needed win in that sense because you don't have as many easy ones as you'd like the rest of the way here. What is it? 22 games left, and you basically punt, hoping it's going to be an easy win, and they come back and get you, embarrass you. As far as I'm concerned,
yeah.
I did think there was a chance late they were going to come back and steal that one. It's a shame. It feels like stealing when it's no Wimby out there. You've owned the Spurs all season long, but they'd had you down early with their youth and energy. And De'Aaron Fox caring. And, you know, no Jai out there. I mean, we know the score. That it just, you know, Taylor, those lineups Saturday night, man.
Even Friday night, too, bro. I mean, I was texting Drew Hill about this.
What you going to? It doesn't look like something that you know.
I typed it out and sent it to him.
Everybody else in the league is playing their guys now with about 20 left and some change.
It was at the end of the third quarter. It was a starting five. It was a lineup of Scottie Pippen, Vince Williams, Luke Kennard, Santi, and Brandon Clark. I mean, I don't know if that five had ever played together at any point this year. And the idea that like there's a stretch ever at any point in the game when all three are available that Ja, Jaren, or Bane isn't on the court. Like, you can't be doing that. And they were fortunate that they only gave back 3 points of a 9-point lead. But in a game that was decided by 1 point, every single decision matters. And I, you know, that's one of them. And plus the 8-second call to sit there and be a spectator while Ja's like wrestling. You know, like, clearly, I know you trust him, but like, you got timeouts, bro. You could call a timeout and like get everything stabilized. I just thought it was a really bad night on Friday night for Taylor Jenkins and the Grizzly staff. You know, just the
we got worse Saturday.
And yeah, and then on Saturday, they just totally punted the game. I mean, they didn't show up at any point. I mean, they got down huge to start, made a little run there and tied it up, but, you know, couldn't hold on against the lowly freaking Spurs without Wimby. Somebody bought tickets to that game thinking they were seeing Wimby and Jai.
Oh, no, I think they knew Wimby wouldn't come. Oh, you're talking about early this season.
I mean, honestly,
you're talking about before the year.
But if you're buying NBA tickets months out in advance, and I know sometimes you don't have a choice, but, like, you should never do that. You should never, as a general rule, never buy NBA tickets anything other than the week of the game. And I even think that is a stretch because, you know, guys, like, John was not even on the injury report on Saturday until he was. Like, normally they put it out the day before, and he's not on there.
On these back-to-backs, they do it. They don't, on that second one, the rules don't apply.
And people think, because Giannotto tweeted about it, he was like, yes, he's going to play six straight games.
Oh, he actually did. We were all over that early in the week.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Giannotto had chimed back in to come in and see if he was going to go over this five.
And then when the initial injury report on Saturday did not include Ja, he thought it was going to happen. And then, of course, you get the status update.
No, we said it wouldn't happen. We said that here on the show early in the week. We said they would sit him on the second night of a back-to-back. That's why you got to listen to J&J.
Yeah, we did call that one out.
25th in defense over the last 10 games.
Yeah.
So I don't see any guys, it looks gone. That's a lot of that is effort. I go back to, again, is the message being received? Now, it's hard to be received when you're playing lineups, haven't played together all season long. Looked like a lot of it by choice on Saturday. And John said, to your point, some on Friday. But what are we doing here? That's an effort thing. Is the message being received? Are guys mailing it in now? I mean, I had those questions on Saturday night. Again, I'm just watching eyeballs on a TV. But you guys are seeing some of this, that energy. Folks were streaming out of there. I know the Grizz made a comeback. Folks were streaming, I think, because they knew. Felt like the whole organization punted on it. And it included all the way down to the effort on the floor. But I'm talking all the way up when you sit those guys. You know, this is what I wonder, how much, because what it feels like, and I don't think this is okay, maybe this is a good place to land, is all of a sudden they're okay with this becoming a development year. That was never supposed to be okay. You know, that's what they're going to try to tell you.
Yeah.
We got so many young guys. We've hit on these second rounders. We feel good about Jalen Wells. That was never supposed to be the thing. What was supposed to be the thing was Edie completes, right? What's a veteran core, and you're taking the next step in terms of winning a playoff series, a first round playoff series, and then being at least competitive in the Western Conference semifinals. That's what this was supposed to be about. Year, remember Jaren 2 years now. Left on deal.
Yeah,
I mean that's sort of the time frame we use. That's why we said right now.
Yep.
And what it feels like we're trying to sell, or that organization is trying to sell in terms of the effort it gave you, especially on Saturday night, was no, we're cool just making it this year. Like, we don't care where we come down with seeding. I mean, Taylor Jenkins was talking about, I can't pay attention to seeding. Somebody better be paying attention to it, or else it's going to, yes, for certain, doom you in terms of to first round exit. And we all think the same thing. That's likely Taylor Jenkins gone. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to have to pay for that. And so I just, if it's a guy who's coaching for his job,
mm-hmm.
and the message isn't being received in losing 6 of 9, I see trouble. That's why I bumped. We got to go DEFCON 4. Remember, guys, it flips. You're the DEFCON 5's the lowest state of readiness. Everything's all calm. Feel good. I got to go to 4. Now, John, I would ask, should we be at 3?
Well, I mean,
laid out a case for you. Where it feels like folks are letting go of the rope. 25th in defense last 10 games.
Is this in sort of relation to
Taylor
what we think the Grizzlies will be this year? I mean, I think in that regard, I'm at DEFCON maybe even 2. I mean,
it's 10. Here, look, I'll lay this out for you, and then you can come in officially in terms of you have the last say in terms of where you think this is going. It's 10th toughest schedule rest of the way.
Okay.
Lakers are third toughest, Denver's fourth toughest. Those are the teams that are now ahead of you. Okay, that's good. They play tougher schedules.
Yep.
The issue for me, more so, is Houston, 18th. They're just one game behind you. John has mentioned they got the tiebreaker. These Lakers, I can't believe it's happening. You know, 8-2 since the trade deadline, but it looks real.
Right.
And so I don't care if it's the third toughest or whatever else. They're playing better than you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And defensively, they look a lot more like a real contender in the West than you do.
Totally.
And so Denver, fourth toughest, I don't care. They got Jokic, you know. And so it's Houston. You could drop down, John, to five and not have, you know, all of a sudden you've squandered home court because what? Because you don't care?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to try to sell us developmental year? No. To me, that equates to failure. Because that was not that; those were not the expectations, not the goal to start this year.
Yeah.
Can't spin it now. Can't spin it now because guys have let go of the rope. That's what I'm seeing. And Taylor, again, are you coaching for your job? Because that's how you better be coaching. And if you are, you're in trouble because it doesn't look like folks are responding to you anymore.
Yeah, Taylor Jenkins is totally coaching for his job. I mean, no question.
He knows it. That's what I'm saying. Everybody in that organization knows it.
He's been here since 2019. You know,
and if this is the effort that you're getting when he's doing that,
right?
Trouble.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at his arc, right? If you look at Taylor Jenkins' arc, he just looks like a coach who peaked in 21, 22. Like, that's what it looks like. And he's been trending down ever since.
Well, I mean, let's be real. Some things
so out of his control. I get that. You know,
with injury and the Josh stuff.
Bottom line business, though. You know.
Oh, it is.
I mean, Dwayne Case got fired.
Players League.
The year he won Coach of the Year.
JB.
You know?
JB did a lot of what the Cavs have done in terms of helping, you know, establish this upward trajectory for them. Gone. Not good enough.
Yeah. Now,
barely beaten Orlando last year where they flailed out in the Eastern Conference semis.
Exactly.
You're gone.
Yeah,
and it goes to the next level without.
I don't get attached to any of these coaches in the NBA. I don't think anybody should.
I don't either. You know, I got another whole concern with that, though, because we've talked about it. We've alluded to it.
Where they
if
would
it's,
go.
If it's just a promotion of what's in there, how cool is Ja with what's in there?
I'm just saying
it don't look all that great.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ja ain't having his best year offensively. And so if you're going to promote your offensive guru that you brought over you know, this year and replacing the whole staff, how cool's job with that? And is that going to do what you need?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Does that help your toughness issue? Does that help your, you know, holding Ja accountable? You know, So we're going to get into some serious talks here if things continue the way they're going, like in terms of real future and change.
Yeah, it's hard to look at these Grizzlies and feel optimistic about where they're headed. I mean, like, you have an arrow, right? You have an arrow, and it points up or it points down. I mean, I see an arrow for a couple of teams. I see an arrow for the Los Angeles Lakers, who,
like, bro, they have a present and a future.
They look like a different team since they got Luka, right? I
talked about having Jared Vanderbilt back, but somebody said, "Oh, Jay, remember they got DFS too." That move was
huge last night.
Because I think he started and played like 37 minutes. Yeah, he's out there.
He came up with the biggest rebound of the game.
He's also been key in them being second
in
defense since the trade deadline.
Oh, by the way, the Dalton Connect draft pick.
Slick move.
Did you see what Dalton Connect did last night?
No.
He had five threes.
I've been stuck on their offense. They've made it easier for him with Luka in there.
Man, he had five threes.
All the offensive attention that Luka draws, I don't like it. How are they second in defense when they have no rim protection?
Did you
see what they did to Jokic? They threw three guys at him. No, you have to give JJ, which I hate doing, but he's doing a phenomenal job. He's putting together these schemes defensively that totally. You know, it keeps them from getting exposed at the rim.
Dude, he's playing Jackson Hayes 26 minutes and getting away with it.
He had no rim protection, and they're second in defense.
Yeah.
It's a great job by them, but Pelinka, the Luka thing, now you got a present.
Trey Jemison is their backup big, dude, right now.
And then I have to, if I'm being honest with myself, I have to give J.J. Redick credit.
Be honest with
you. He is really coaching.
Yeah.
This is not just a celebrity thing.
Who was his co-host? Who was his co-host on that?
Who?
JJ's podcast. Oh, it was LeBron. So we can't hire him if there's no.
And you see Luka, how many was it? 29 against the Clippers?
Yeah, 29.
It's coming back.
Yeah.
So I don't know what Nico was talking about.
Now, he did have 14 of those in the first quarter, but still, I mean, the man had 14 points in the first quarter.
He's had two triple-doubles now.
Yeah. He's unbelievable. The impact is coming back, bro. I mean, every time you watch the Lakers, there is only one thought. And it's like, Nico, dog, how the hell did you do this? How could you do this? Every time you watch him, how did you allow this to happen?
And then the
willingly.
Man you traded for crumpled.
Voluntarily. He played 2 minutes. He's done. I mean,
it was more than two because he had 30 points, it felt like.
I had to, basically. I messaged a bunch of people. I'm like, how did the Mavericks do this? How did they allow Luka to be a Laker?
Again,
unbelievable.
I appreciate Nico for being willing to stand there in L.A. and let Luka come at him if he wanted to, but you're still a damn fool.
Man, crazy.
For making this trade.
Seriously insane. But there's an arrow, and there's arrows that are pointing up and pointing down. And right now, the arrow is pointing down with the Memphis Grizzlies. They haven't beaten a team over 500 since February the 2nd. The Lakers haven't lost to a team over 500 since the middle of January.
It's Frank Gore. It's Inconvenient Truth for Grizz. Nobody wants to talk about it.
I'm not sure
they're
when the Grizzlies.
They're going the wrong way, guys.
When will they beat a team over 500 again? Because they're not going to do it on Wednesday against the Thunder. Are they going to do it on Friday on the road at Dallas? Is Anthony Davis playing? Because if he's playing, I would say they're not going to do it there. I mean, that's their best chance is Dallas on Friday.
Dude, just beat anybody you just lost to the Spurs.
I mean.
Talking about you looking for the next over 500. Get the next win, lost 6 of 9. Barely beat Orlando and Phoenix.
I mean, you're right.
The three
those
wins.
Easily been L's.
Two of them are one possession games, and two of them came over Phoenix.
You were down 4 to the Suns with a minute left.
Orlando one possession. One of the Phoenix was one possession. Bro.
Yeah, the 151.
Your three wins are against, two of them are trash.
Yeah.
Trash team. Orlando, Ja had to save you. He couldn't save you against Knicks. Penny saved you, though.
I mean, all they've beaten is the Suns and the Magic, right? The three wins are the two Suns wins.
Two Suns and Magic. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
Out of these 9.
Just making sure that there wasn't a third one in there. I wanted.
That's it, bro. 6 of 9 you've lost, and the ones you beat. Essentially dogs. You know Orlando ain't going nowhere
this
year.
No, they're not. They're not. Although and Suggs is out, and the Suns are in a disaster,
man,
internally.
Poor Suggs. And what's happened to his hair?
I don't know. Well, now he's got his leg.
He's losing at an insane rate, and I feel bad for him as a man who lost it much slower.
Yeah.
But the way it must be hard to grapple with if you're him.
Well, look, they'll win tonight, and, you know, that'll be great for the people in attendance there, but – you know, then they get back to business against the Thunder team that you're probably going to lose to. Then you got to go to Dallas. Luckily, you play the Suns again. How many times do they get the Suns? I mean, this is starting to feel like.
Is it time for players only meeting yet? And would that be a good thing?
I mean,
DEFCON 4, guys.
There's just 4, though? The way we're talking, it sounds like way, way worse than 4. I mean, look.
Again, you had taken care of business against the bad teams.
Right, you were 12-0.
That's where you made your,
yeah.
Frankly, that's been your gravy this year.
Yeah.
That's where we really do damage. You know what I'm saying?
To the bottom of the West.
We punish them. And the East until recently. And facing some of these better teams there. Until, what, Indiana, though. That was a mess. But that's my point is that, no, I mean, that's not going to be there for you here, these dogs. But my point is when you lost to San Antonio. That's when you had to move it up. That's why I was at lowest level of readiness. I'm ready to move it up, the defense system, J&J, Grizz, DEFCON, level up to 4, at least officially. John's thinking about hitting the button, climbing.
I just don't think this team
thinking
is.
Thinking about pushing us up to 3.
I mean, you know this. When the Grizzlies lost to the Thunder.
Get y'all familiar with DEFCON system. Everybody thinks we were at 1.
On what day was that?
The other way around.
It was February the 8th. When the Grizzlies lost to the Thunder on February the 8th, and the way they lost to the Thunder. With the Thunder,
6 of 9 starts right there.
Yeah, with the Thunder missing 3 of their top 8, that is when I said, this Grizzlies team is really not who I thought it was. They're just not. I mean, I thought they were back to that level of, okay, they're going to be an elite team. They're going to have a chance to win a series, maybe even 2. And at this point, and you see what has happened since then.
Was crazy is before this, they had won 10 of 11.
Yeah, they were looking great, but it was against
a mirage, wasn't it, John?
It totally was. I think it really was.
A mirage for us.
And look, here's the thing. You guys are going to get tricked again.
Well, like, they're going to tell you it's developmental year. That's the trick.
Well,
that's
I'm
coming.
Saying there's going to be another stretch, though, where they do that again against the bad teams, right, in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean,
especially
I guess
as we get later in the year because there are going to be some teams that are playing for absolutely nothing.
It's 10th toughest. It's not slow. It's not just super easy, though.
Right.
It's not slow.
But they have, you know, they have this stretch coming up.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC.
Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.